Good morning. We need to bring together the Minnesota House Ag Policy Committee. We do have a quorum, and if Representative Faust, if you've reviewed the minutes.
Madam Chair, I move the House minute or the minutes from the February 27th meeting.
The February 27th minutes will approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Minutes are approved.
And Madam Chair, I also move the February 28th minutes. I have both of them in my packet, so I'm assuming they both need to be moved.
That is correct. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Thank you. And we are going to have the presentation of the department's finance bill today. And so I'll just have the testifiers come to the microphone.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. I had my PowerPoint loaded up on my computer, but your system here won't take my computer. So we're having to load it up on one of yours.
We do have...
Maybe we can just start...
The presentation in paper form. Is that
we
correct?
We have it in paper form, Madam Chair. And I'm happy to work off of that if you would prefer, in the interest of time.
We can begin that way anyway and see if it does take some time, unfortunately, for the think for it to load up anyway. So
yes, our systems are also laser fast, Madam Chair, in the executive branch.
And before you begin, I just to clarify, so we're hearing the finance bill today. We will be entertaining some amendments, taking action, and moving this bill on to the Finance Committee. Representative Wagenius's Finance Committee. And we do have a Representative Nornes at the end of today does have his legislative report. So I would suspect we'll be able to listen to and ask questions and participate in the discussion for maybe just over an hour, and then we'll have time to be able to act on the bill and be able to have Representative Nornes. So I'm moving House File 473 be recommended to pass. We refer to the Ag, Environment, Natural Resources Finance Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, members. Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. What we're going to do with our presentation today is I will go through the department's brief PowerPoint, which I put together just as kind of an overview of what we do very generally and some of our most recent export data and sales data. And then I'm going to turn it over to Steve Ernest, who is our budget director, and he will walk us through your bill, Madam Chair. And with that, I'm going to take off on the second page of our PowerPoint. The mission of the department, as many of you know, is threefold: to enhance the quality of life by ensuring the integrity of the Minnesota food supply, the health of our environment, and the strength of our agriculture economy. We use a wide range of regulatory and voluntary strategies to support our mission, including inspections and registrations, but also promotion and education, as you can see on that slide. Going to the next slide, we're seeing some trends, which we also detailed in our budget document that you have. Increased consumer expectation for safe food, increased focus on environment, growth in both international trade and locally sourced foods, emergence of new biofuels, and growing consumer interest in knowing not only where their food is coming from, but knowing the farmer and interacting with the farmer. The next slide is just a brief overview of the scale of agriculture in Minnesota. 27 million acres, that's about 53% of the total land of the state of Minnesota. The most recent USDA statistics place us with 79,800 farms. The average farm size is 336 acres. In marketing, we did $18.5 billion, and that puts us at number six in the United States. And there's some more statistics there, 341,000 total jobs. If you count the total output of the ag sector, food included, it is $75 billion a year. And 80% of the jobs in agriculture are off the farm. The next slide, I'm sure many of you are fairly familiar with, but I put it in anyway because it's always good to look at it again. The different areas of our state and the different types of agricultural products predominant in those areas. And if you look at the slide below that, we took the liberty of finding the top counties, top 10 counties for ag production. And outlining those here. So Stearns would be the highest with $720 million a year, and Kandy Ohi with $437 million at the bottom. And you can see they're mostly in the southern half of the state. However, we do have Polk County up in the valley, which is also in the mix. In terms of our national rankings, so that gives you an idea about counties, our national rankings, we are fifth overall in the United States in crop production. We're seventh in livestock. In terms of major commodities, we're number one in turkey and sugar beets, and number two now in hogs. Last year we were number three, but this for 2012 we have bumped North Carolina out of its number two place, and we are now number two. And third in soybeans and spring wheat, fourth in corn, sixth, red meat, milk, cows, and cheese, seventh, in potatoes, and ninth, in cattle. The next slide looks specifically at our exports. Although we're 21st in population, we are sixth in U.S. ag exports. And this slide shows you of the total $6.8 billion in ag exports, what those top commodities are. Of course, soybeans, corn, pork, wheat, and sugar and products. Our ag exports support over 46,000 jobs. Turning now to the next page, we have a bar graph about the trend in our exports. And you can see from 2000 to 2011, our trend line has been steadily going upward. We are expecting that this year we are on par again to meet or exceed what we did in 2011, for 2012, that is. Now moving into some of our general budget numbers, you can see from the pie chart below, which was our total funds for the current biennium we are now in, fiscal years 12 and 13, that we are about 37% general fund, about 41% dedicated. That's the ag fund, which is all of our fee-generated revenue and also special revenue funds. You can see we get about 10% from the feds, and about 12% of our total funding is from legacy. For the current fiscal year, most of that is out of the legacy clean water account, although we do have one program in the current fiscal year, fiscal biennium rather, running out of the legacy arts and culture fund. The next slide shows our general fund summary for the upcoming biennium, 14-15. And on this slide, we also showed you not only the spread between, this is our major activities, so now we're looking at expenditures. Protection services is our dairy and food inspection, our pesticide and fertilizer management, and our plant protection, which includes exports and plant diseases and pests. Then our marketing and development is second on that list at $6 million for the biennium. Protection services is $23 million. Agri is $20 million, 20.4, and agency services is about $12 million, for a total of $62.6 million out of the general fund projected over the 14-15 biennium. You can see that about 41% of the general fund that the Department of Agriculture receives is pass-throughs. And on the spreadsheets that we will go over in a bit here, we'll get into exactly where those pass-through dollars are going. Finally, just for reference, I put in an org chart showing you what our main divisions are. Again, dairy and food, pesticide and fertilizer, plant protection, which encompasses both certifying grains and so forth for export, but also plant diseases and plant pests, like the emerald ash borer. Marketing and development is where we work on Minnesota grown and international trade, and also where our agri program is housed. Lab services support and undergird all of our regulatory work. We pride ourselves on the quality and integrity of our laboratory. And then you'll see finance and central services. So, Madam Chair, with that brief overview, we can proceed to the bill walkthrough?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Steve Ernest, Finance and Budget Director at the Department of Agriculture. House File 473 is our budget bill, and on the first page we just have a summary for the whole bill. And I just want to point out that lines 1.14 and 1.15, the numbers are transposed. The 800,000 is from the Agricultural Fund, and the 388 is from the Remediation Fund. I'm sure that'll be corrected later, but it's just the summary. Page 2 starts with the Department of Agriculture's budget, and those numbers properly show by fund. Our first area of our budget is the protection services, as Ms. Gauthier said, and I'll just walk through the riders one by one. The $388,000 each year from the Remediation Fund is for management of our ag chem-related cleanup work. We get a statutory appropriation. It's an open appropriation. We get about $2 million a year from that remediation fund, and that is managed by the Pollution Control Agency. This is a direct appropriation just for our administration of that program. The next two riders are for the wolf depredation and elk crop damage programs. They provide $75,000 each year for each program. And then they do allow carry back in addition to carry forward. So if we run out of money in the first year, we can use the second year's money. And then on page 3, they also allow us to switch money between the two programs if there's need. So we really can be flexible as to the need, and that has shifted heavily towards wolf depredation lately. And we use all that money. The rider on line, starting on line 3.7, is our only general fund request for this biennium. That's an additional amount for the Laboratory Services Division to help them meet the costs of their certification, their quality improvement activities that will get them their international certification that they need.
Pardon me, Madam Chair, and we do have a handout on that in the packet detailing some of those accreditations that the lab will be seeking. Should be. Madam Chair, it is a two-page document that says Laboratory Services Division, Supporting Lab Operations and Quality Control.
Madam Chair, starting on line 3.11, the Ag Marketing and Development Program, this is one division, our Ag Marketing and Development Division. The first rider, $186,000 a year, is for transfer to the Minnesota Grown Account. The Minnesota Grown Account is an account in the Agricultural Fund where we collect revenues from advertising for our Minnesota Grown directory and also licensing fees for the use of the Minnesota Grown logo. And this is transferred in there to supplement the fee revenue. And then we have a rider allowing us to use up to $100,000 of the Marketing and Development Division's budget for demonstration projects involving sustainable agriculture. On page 4, $10,000 each year is for annual cost share payments to organic certification. This rider, we have traditionally gotten some federal money for this also, and there are some potential concerns with the situation going on in the federal government that this might need a little tweaking for conformity reasons, but we're still trying to get the information on that. The next area of our budget is bioenergy and value added. The first rider there is for the Agri program. This amount was specified to be restored to our budget from last year's budget when this area was cut and focused all on finishing off the ethanol program. Now the money is free, is focused all into the Agri program, and that is a flexible program that's laid out in Chapter 41A.12 as to the general uses of the program. On page 5, line 5.6 starts some additional guidance for the use of that funds. And
Madam Chair, if I may, in the packet is also a fact sheet on the Agri program. However, the committee did have a hearing on that already.
Madam Chair, starting on page 6.1 is our administration and financial assistance program. This is the administration of the agency and also a series of pass-through grants, which are spelled out in riders here. The first one is managed by the Marketing and Development Division. This is the Dairy Profitability and Enhancement Program. It includes business planning grants and dairy profitability teams and has lengthy guidance there on the use of the money. On page 7, $47,000 each year are for grants to the Northern Crops Institute. This institute does research on northern hardy crop varieties. $18,000 each year to the Livestock Breeders Association. This rider and the rider starting on 7.17 for county fairs and the rider starting on 7.27 to the State Poultry Association. These all go towards youth education types of activities that help them, if you will, learn their trade in those areas.
Madam Chair, I would also point to that on line 712, you'll see $235 the first year and $235 the second year for the Minnesota Ag Education and Leadership Council, which the committee has also heard, and it's not youth education, but I suppose young adult education, Madam Chair.
Yes. And the rider, starting on line 7.30, $108,000 each year are for grants to the Minnesota Turf Seed Council. This council sponsors research on improved production of forage and turf seed varieties, both native and new varieties. Turning to page 8, $500,000 each year are for grants to Second Harvest Heartland. This provides them to purchase milk to go on food shelves across the state. Turning to page 9, $94,000 each year is for transfer to the MNSCU system. This is for work they do on mental health counseling for farmers in distress. $17,000 each year is for a grant to the Horticultural Society. This is sort of northern hardy non-crop varieties, but another important area of our of economic activity in the state. And then the rider starting on 9.12 is $800,000 each year from the fertilizer account in the agricultural fund. This money is our fertilizer fees and is all dedicated, but this is a special direct appropriation on top of that to give us authority to grant some of that money out for research, and this program is managed by the Pesticide and Fertilizer Division. At the bottom of that page is the appropriation for the Board of Animal Health. They have a rider for Yoni's disease and for Cervidae inspection. And then the next section is for the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, AURI, and they don't have specific riders under that, although they say that may be used for technical assistance. Section 6 of the bill is a slight tweak to our federal language that says we can receive and spend federal monies. And this provides us the ability to spend the money as they appropriate it. The key purpose of this is that when we have daily expenses using their money. They reimburse us as per diem, and our state contracts allow us to reimburse employees as meal-per-meal specific amounts. What we do is we get their per diem, and then we pay the employee what they get, and then we return part of it. Or if they don't want it back, we send it to the general fund. It's just a waste of our budget to spend time doing that when we can just follow their own rules for their own money. And on page 11, section 7, this is another kind of conformity issue. This language that we are adding to our promotional expenditure section of statute is language that the trade office at Deed has, and we do the same activities they do, just for agricultural promotion. So this is a conformity issue, and the reason why this occasionally is needed is occasionally if we're overseas and we have issues with vendors not taking purchase orders, and we'd not want to carry a lot of cash, it's easier for us to use a purchasing card, say, to pay for some food, which is normally prohibited on the purchasing card, or something like that. And this just makes it easier for us to act in a professional way overseas, and all expenses are reviewed, of course. Starting on line 11.13 is our commercial animal waste technician. This is our other initiative that's not a clean water initiative, and this is regarding the agricultural fund changing the way we charge fees for animal waste technician licenses. This is an industry recommended proposal, and this is, I think, the rest of the bill. Basically, they are including more people in the licensing. We're splitting out the license to three types of licenses instead of just licensing the applicators. We're licensing the supervisors and the companies, and providing a little more guidance on their training. So subsequently, we also have a request tied to this for a little more money for training materials.
Madam Chair, if I may, there is a fact sheet in your packet on the commercial animal waste technician licensing fees reform. And again, the industry did approach us. We were happy to work with them over a period of months, develop this program to strengthen the licensing system for commercial application of manure. Madam Chair, this is a fee-based program, and so it is not a general fund request. It is a request for an increase in our ag fund.
And that is the end of the bill, Madam Chair.
That brings us to the end of the bill, Madam Chair. We can be happy to answer questions. I do have technical staff who can discuss the main policy item in this bill, which is the commercial animal waste provisions, and we'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. The first, does anybody have any general questions at the beginning here? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 9, 9.33 is the line. 2.276 million first and second year for bovine tuberculosis. I thought we were TB free in our state.
Ms. Gauthier?
Madam Chair and Representative Erickson, we are TB free in our state. This is rider language, which we have been working with MMB to have changed. MMB took our rider language from previous biennia and simply put it back into the bill again, and we have been working with them to explain that we are bovine TB free in Minnesota and no longer need this rider. So we hope to have that amended or fixed in the next go around here. So yes, we are TB free. That is an error in the bill. We are working to get it corrected.
And then what would happen to those dollars that are designated?
Madam Chair, any dollars designated that are not in a rider are for the general operating expenses of the Board of Animal Health. And that's consistent with any budget item. The appropriation is for whatever the appropriation states, and the riders state that a percentage of that appropriation must be used for a specific purpose. We no longer need the $2.276 million per year to be used for bovine tuberculosis, so the rider language is an inadvertent carryover from the previous biennium.
All right. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. If I understand, then that leaves that $2.2 million would be for the Board of Health. Do they need that extra dollars to run their program?
Ms. Gauthier.
Madam Chair, yes, they do. I apologize, Madam Chair. I wasn't aware that the Board of Animal Health would be needing to testify today, but I am their government relations person. Yes, that money was set aside to address a specific problem because the legislature wanted to be sure that that problem was addressed thoroughly and completely. So in a rider language like that, that's something that we absolutely have to spend all of that money on. So in other words, we made sure that we addressed that situation because of the economic impacts to the cattle industry in Minnesota. We still, Madam Chair, do need that money in order to operate and do the work that the Board of Animal Health does. The governor recommended no change in the Board of Animal Health's general fund appropriation. In fact, Madam Chair, if you wanted to, you could delete that rider.
Yeah. Representative Petersburg.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm confused because I'm, you know, and I apologize. I'm somewhat new to this, but it sounds like this rider was in for the last few bienniums and had been directed for that, meaning that the Board of Animal Health was dealing without those dollars in their budget, and all of a sudden this be pulled out. Or am I mistaken in that?
Ms. Gauthier.
Madam Chair and Representative Peterson, the Board of Animal Health made it the top priority to address bovine tuberculosis, and in order to ensure that we could do that in a timely fashion and as efficiently and effectively as possible, there was a rider placed in our bill so that those dollars would be held in that spot for us to use for that purpose. And now that we do not longer need to do that, those dollars would roll back into what the board otherwise would be doing across the state of Minnesota. So in other words, Madam Chair, if you would, one could think about it as focusing a lot of our energy and effort on eradication of bovine TB. Bovine TB is a serious problem. It is transmissible to humans. Not only that, it required that all of our meat be quarantined in Minnesota, which was, as you can imagine, economic implications are very serious. So we made this our highest priority in dealing with this, and now that we have completed our work there and the federal government has said that Minnesota is bovine TB free, we no longer need to make it as high a priority because the problem is solved.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you again, Matt. Maybe I'll ask it a different way. If I got this right, $4.8 million was put to the Board of Health with $2.27 was assigned for TB in the last biennium. Mm-hmm. And so now this biennium, that $2.76 isn't necessary, but the Board of Animal Health had been dealing with only about half of that for its operations prior to that, because what you've told me is that this $2.276 was earmarked specifically for tuberculosis. My question then would, to ask a different way, what will the Board of Animal Health be using with that $2 million this year that they didn't do prior to this?
Ms. Gauthier.
Madam Chair, Representative Peterson, Petersburg, I apologize. I do have our fiscal analyst here who's just indicated to me that we're checking on some data for you.
Representative Hamilton is indicating that he's going to be helpful.
I think
in this
so.
Matter.
I'll try to be helpful. Just like Ms. Gauthier was talking about, the Department of Ag and the Board of Animal Health did a wonderful, wonderful job eradicating the TB issue. If memory serves me correctly, we did eliminate this, but then we had to put the language back in there because there was a few claims that had not been addressed yet. Mm-hmm. And so we placed this back in there to make sure that the Board of Animal Health and Department of Ag could clean that up. It is not necessary now. And like Ms. Gauthier said, and Madam Chair, if I could, I would just move to delete lines 9.33 through 9.35. And those dollars then would still be under the Board of Animal Health to operate the Board of Animal Health. And like I said, that program, and Ms. Gauthier, I believe you can confirm that, the program has come to an end. They've done an exceptional job addressing this. So then, again, it can just go in for the Board of Animal Health on operating and to address the next emerging disease or whatever the case may be. So I'd make that motion, Madam Chair, if that's appropriate.
All right. We have a motion. Okay. Colby, do you want to just report the motion to us all?
Madam Chair and members, Representative Hamilton is moving to amend House File 473. On page 9, delete lines 33 to 35.
All right. Everyone understand what we're doing? Okay. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Representative Kreshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a question, just so I understand. Even though we're deleting the dollar amounts, because the total is there, we're still encapsulated in the bill.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The motion prevails. Thank you for answering that, clearing that up, Representative Hamilton, for addressing that.
Thank you.
All right. Any other?
I do have a question.
Yes, Representative Post.
If I can, the question that I think Representative Petersburg was getting after was if that we no longer need to spend a $2.2 million in that area, which, you know, as Representative Hamilton said, good job that we don't have to do that anymore. Is the $4.8 million $2.2 million less than it was a couple years ago?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Ernst.
Representative, I did just check last year's bill, and this is a flatline amount, and so I assume that that was reviewed and they have other needs for the money. But I don't know the specifics of their budget.
Because I guess that, you know, this, thank you, I'm sorry, ma'am. I guess my opinion is that if that's about a 40, maybe a 45% increase in funding, then that they get to just decide what they want to. And I think that's a pretty significant increase, you know, for the dollars we're talking about, for us not to at least have an idea where it's going.
Representative Post, you're making an assumption that it was an increase to the to the amount, the original amount, and it might have been, and sounds like it was, just earmarked dollars that was previously in the fund, or what they were receiving. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Faust, the budget amount for the current biennium is identical to the budget amount we are requesting for 14-15, which is $4.8 million per year. $4.841 million per year. This was an earmark for bovine tuberculosis, and as Representative Hamilton said, and thank you, Representative Hamilton, it was a payout for some claims. There were a number of herds that had to be taken out in order to contain and deal with that outbreak. So this was an earmark for that purpose. Now that that purpose no longer exists, that was not an increase to the board's budget. It was the same budget, but an earmark made to handle any remaining claims and any remaining issues from the outbreak of bovine tuberculosis.
Representative Post.
Well, if you've got $4.8 million, and you're earmarking $2.2 million to pay off the claims from the bovine tuberculosis, and all of a sudden you don't have to pay out the $2.2 million anymore, and you're still getting the $4.8, there's $2.2 million that are going someplace that they didn't need to go last year, and I'd like to know where it's going this year.
Ms. Gauthier.
Madam Chair, perhaps it would be more, let me frame it this way. When bovine tuberculosis broke out in Minnesota, the Board of Animal Health directed its energies away from other duties in order to address this extremely serious condition. And we addressed it. And we have been now confirmed by the USDA to be bovine TB free in Minnesota. So now this will allow us to get back to the work that the board normally does, which we have been doing to the best of our ability, but our highest priority, because we are the Board of Animal Health, is looking at animal disease, and bovine tuberculosis is one of the more serious out there. We've done an exemplary job in addressing it, and in fact, other states have looked to Minnesota as a model for how to contain and eradicate bovine tuberculosis.
I don't know what else to say. I mean,
I think essentially, if I'm understanding correctly, the amount was the amount is the amount. I mean, the 4.8 million has been the amount that they've received. What they did was they earmarked it in order to be able to deal with the disease, much like they would do, they did this in northwestern Minnesota, but much like they do in southeastern Minnesota if they had a pig disease that we needed to take care of, right? I mean, they would have spent the money that they needed to, and now they're going to have that money available again in their budget to be able to deal with any of those outbreaks or any of the needs that they have within the state. It might not be to your satisfaction.
No, I guess it's not.
And maybe we'll need to have the Board of Animal Health come and just do a description about how they manage their budget and take care of disease as it does happen. I mean, they can't determine 6 months from now this is what we're going to be dealing with, but or a year from now this is the next disease that we're going to have to face. But they had to do that. And this then became earmarked because it was tremendously awful, and they needed to have that money. And I think, you know, this is one of the things you do when you put riders in, that you're is that, am I addressing that correctly, Mr. Ernest?
Madam Chair, that is correct. I would just add that in looking at the bill from 2 years ago, I see the same dollar amount, the $4.8 million. I do not see the rider. I do not know if that money was in addition to this in a separate bill and the rider was pulled in here. We will have to consult with them on the details of their budget.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
And Representative, Ms. Gauthier, did you have something?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, as I said earlier, we have been working with MMB to get this language deleted or corrected. It is from a previous biennium, and I,
Representative Hamilton here is going to take legal law lessons and help us.
Well, we're trying to. We're trying to. And in 2009, we actually had additional dollars that were in the Board of Animal Health, and they had a number of riders in here with the bovine TB was listed, and then along with Yone's, and what were some of the other ones? Cervidae inspection and one other. Avian influenza. We're not quite sure, and we knew, like I said, that was not in last year's bill. However, there was a few, like I said, if memory serves me correctly, a few that we had to readdress, and it had to be specific to go towards that program. And I'm not, and Madam Chair, we're trying to understand why then the department, MMB, wanted us to put those three riders back in here. And we're not quite sure why they did. But the dollar amount from 2009, I'm right about this, right? 2009 to current actually has been reduced after the bovine TB was taken care of. And so it would be an assumption on our part, but those dollars are for the Board of Animal Health to operate. And is that clear as mud?
If I may, Madam Chair, I would ask that we get this number, this $4.8 million number for the last 8 years, because I believe when the bovine TB broke out, there was a significant increase in the funding for the Board of Animal Health to deal with that issue. Now, if that was a different line than this 4.8, then I'm fine with that. But if that was included, if that is now included in this, I have an issue with that. And so I would like to see that number going back at least 8 years.
Ms. Gauthier.
Madam Chair, we are working to get someone here from Board of Animal Health. I apologize. I don't know why they were not here, but they will be.
But
as I recall, we have had some questions of Representative Hamilton mentioned that why did MMB put these three in here? Well, on page 10, line 5, that's our survey, our farm survey inspection program. So that is something that has been a fairly standard program for a while. But again, the rider was not in the last biennium. It most likely was in a previous biennium. We have been working with MMB to ascertain some of these things, and I have not been in those day-to-day conversations, but we are working on getting someone over here who has been. So perhaps if there were other questions, we could take those and then come back to this when our Board of Animal Health staff person arrives.
Thank you. We do, and we have now since deleted it, so we're actually talking about a deleted part of the bill, so we may want to move on from this, and we're also the policy committee, not the finance committee, so we appreciate the fact that people have an interest, and I think that's the purpose today, is to help educate all of us, because it's all important to us, but we'll try to move on here. But I think next on our list was Representative Falk.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and that was the point I was going to raise. Is, I mean, we are a policy committee here, and, you know, I think we let one finance amendment through, but I see that there's an amendment that also deals with finance, and before we start rising to points of order, I think we have to respect the jurisdiction here, and I think with some of these finance discussions we've got a little bit far into the weeds, and I just hope that we would stay on the policy aspects.
And we are giving leeway based on the fact that this is still an agriculture committee. And so we do want to respect that we're policy, and Representative Genius is the finance chair, but I am allowing some leeway because of the overall jurisdiction of agriculture. So I appreciate the comments. Representative Johnson? Nope. Okay. Representative Hamilton. Now, is this okay? All right. We do have. Okay. All right. Ms. Gauthier, since you had indicated that you were trying to work with MMB and the Cervidae rider is maybe not necessary, is that true also of the paratuberculosis rider? And is that another area that we would be appropriate for us to have an amendment to delete the riders?
Madam Chair, it is, if there are no riders in the bill, then the money will be spent at the board's discretion on the purposes for which the legislature has told the board they wanted to act. So as with any appropriation, that would be the case. I would defer an answer to specifically until someone from the Board of Animal Health gets here, if I could, because I am not sure about the issue on page 10, line 1.
Right.
And I would want to double check on that, Madam Chair.
All right. All right. Thank you. And Representative Wagenius.
Madam Chair, in terms of these riders now, when we do not have the information we need, we certainly have the opportunity, and so many of the members here are on finance, we have the opportunity to deal with those issues. I think the policy here may be where the Board of Animal Health is focusing its attention rather than on the numbers. And we would like to know where they're focusing their attention and what they see that they would like to accomplish. I think that's an appropriate, but that is not something I think that our current witnesses should be held to account for. So maybe if we can either wait and just have them at a later date, because I think everybody does want to know.
Sure.
What's the focus here? What do you want to accomplish for Minnesotans? Which is the correct question. So if we could get to that, maybe it would be helpful just to wait till we have the board here.
Thank you. And Ms. Gauthier, did you have a comment on that? Or?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. However, we do have we do have some amendments, and I do have one amendment that was discussed early on here, a potential amendment, which is the 1.14 and 1.15, those transposed numbers. If we could correct that, and Mr. Sullivan, if you have language for that.
Madam Chair, yes, the effect of the amendment is to transpose the numbers on 114 and 115. So the appropriations for the agricultural fund and the remediation fund are transposed right now. So the mechanics of that is page 1, line 14, delete both instances of $388,000 and insert $800,000. And delete $776,000 and insert $1,600,000. And then on page 1, line 15, delete both instances of $800,000 and insert $388,000. And delete $1.6 million and insert $776,000.
Thank you. I would so move that amendment. Anyone have any questions about that? Discussion about that?
No, Madam Chair, but I'd like a roll call.
All right. Representative Hamilton has requested a roll call. And Ethan will...
Madam Chair.
Representative Wagenius?
Madam Chair, I mean, we are doing a finance thing in this committee, which is... a correction that I understand the department believes was an inadvertent error, and as an inadvertent error, it's perfectly fine to get it cleaned up here. But as we go on in this hearing and with two amendments with dollars in them, I trust that these amendments will be up for discussion so people can talk about the policy, but not the dollar amounts. In them, that is the role of the Finance Committee. But it will be interesting to hear why we would want to take money away from farm to school and take money away from small farms and take money away from biofuels for other purposes. And so I'm interested in that discussion. Certainly that is something that I think it would be wonderful to hear from why people would want to take money from those three programs. But in terms of voting on a dollar to do it, I think that's inappropriate for this committee.
Representative Prisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just advice to the Chair, I guess, in a couple of committees that I've been in, we've been separating policy with finance. And I just have to say that we can't have effective policy conversations if we don't know how many zeros are behind a program, because that greatly affects which policies get weight and which don't. And so I just want to strongly discourage us from going down the hole of saying, let's take out the numbers and let's just talk policy, because they are very germane to each other and they're very intertwined. I do understand those decisions will ultimately be made in the Finance Committee, but how can we effectively weigh policy and talk about them if we don't know the impacts they're going to have? So I just comments.
Thank you. Representative Fritz.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And this is very confusing to me. Mm-hmm. I just want to put that out there. It's hard for me to vote, to know how to vote, when I know that my farmers in my area and all of us in Minnesota need financing. And I actually, you know, have some legislation that will be hopefully coming before the Finance Committee for education for farmers in my community. So it's hard for me to take this amendment today. I think there needs to be more discussion around it. I don't believe that I am not fully informed with this amendment, and I would appreciate more help with it before we vote. Thank you.
All right. Representative Falk.
Madam Chair, I would raise a point of order that this is out of order, and this amendment. We typically deal with spreadsheets. We have the financial fiscal staff there, and we deal with things with money. We don't have those resources here. This is not appropriate to deal with in this committee. So I would ask that you roll this amendment out of order.
Mr. Ernest, could you give us a fuller explanation about what the current amendment is?
Madam Chair, I believe the current amendment was just to change lines 1.14 and 1.15.
Mm-hmm.
This section is a summary section that the reviser adds to the bill, and it does not carry the weight of law. This is not appropriating any money. The reviser is free to correct this on her own.
So it does not need an amendment?
I don't believe so.
To correct? So you're stating it's a typographical mistake that...
That's correct, Madam.
Somebody was, okay. So if we do not amend it, where would it show up differently?
Madam Chair, I believe the next engrossment would incorporate an amount on those lines that has integrity with the rest of the bill where the actual specific appropriations occur.
So if, and just as a point of clarification, the next engrossment would happen because we've already amended the bill, because we deleted some language. So we would see this without any further action by this committee. Is that correct?
I believe that's true, Madam Chair.
All right. Then I'm going to withdraw my motion to correct it. So we will not be doing that. We, however, have been made aware of the transposing of the numbers and that we have an explanation and understanding of it. So, is that clear to everyone? Okay. We do have other amendments that we have here, and there's been some discussion about whether or not these amendments are appropriate for us at this point. We have two amendments that were given to us. Are there people that are here at the committee who want to move these amendments?
We only have one here. Do you have multiple ones?
Did you have one in the one folder in the and then one that was distributed?
Yeah.
I have an A1 and an A2. We had one that came to us yesterday by close of day, and so that one got in the folder. And then I think one was brought this morning. So it was distributed?
Yeah, I was looking for the A1, but I have a copy of it now.
If we have no one who's offering these amendments at this point.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Hamilton.
I guess the question would be, Madam Chair, a point of order was raised or potentially alluded to. Would it be your intent to allow us to vote on these, Madam Chair, these amendments?
That's the question. Well, what we would have is we'd have amendments that are offered, we'd have discussion, and then we'd need to dispense with the amendment in some way. I guess it would be voted for or against or withdrawn.
Yeah. Well, then, Madam Chair, I'll offer the A1 amendment.
Okay, the A1 amendment has been offered by Representative Hamilton. And to the discussion of Representative Wagenius.
Madam Chair, I would like to hear the discussion of this. Representative Hamilton is on the Finance Committee. He is welcome, of course, to put this amendment in on the Finance Committee, as is anyone welcome to put the other one on. One of the things that you have to do as a Finance Committee is make sure everything fits together and see what is lost and what is gained. And so this proposal talks about a gain, but not a loss. It doesn't talk about who will lose in this proposal. So that's the balance that a Finance Committee does. And we would hear testimony on the losses and the gains. So while I think it would be helpful for everybody to know what would be gained and what would be lost as a discussion, obviously I could do a point of order, but I think that puts stress on members, and it's not a necessary stress. I think that a better resolution would be for us to discuss the amendments, to have them withdrawn, or for the chair to not recognize them.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the esteemed wisdom of Representative Wagenius, because she's been around here as more experienced than I do. But as somebody new coming in, I look at policy as also a way for us to determine in policy what areas of education, which areas of agriculture we want to enhance and what areas we want to grow. And I don't know that we can do that without talking about it and talking about how it's going to fit in the whole scheme of the funding, because the funding is directing the importance of any particular area. So if we have a policy decision discussion here in which we determine that this needs to be a certain weight of the whole part, the whole area, and we can't talk about money, then later on it could be given a dollar, say, instead of $500,000. And so the point is that unless we have some way of gauging the importance of it, and all of the importance tends to be based upon dollars, then we really have no way of dealing with policy decisions at all. So I'm really thinking that we need to be able to put down at least what we think as a policy decision, the percentages at least of the dollars that need to be provided for any particular policy area. And so therefore I believe it's germane to at least look at those dollars in a percentage value. Now certainly Finance Committee can, when it reviews it, will have the opportunity to reevaluate those dollars and either concur or not concur with what we do, and because they're going to have the ultimate say. But to eliminate any discussion of dollars because we're only a policy committee, I think strangles our ability to really look at the whole process and the whole policy issue as well. So I would offer that as a little bit of advice.
Thank you. Representative Wagenius.
Members are always free in a policy committee to make a policy amendment to the agriculture bill. I don't see any policy amendments here. So I would assume then that everybody agrees with the underlying policies in the agriculture bill, in the governor's bill. This is the governor's proposal, and I haven't seen any policy amendments to the governor's proposal. So we are, we can discuss, I think, appropriately that this committee members would like to share with Representative Hamilton, who is on the Finance Committee, their enthusiasm or lack of enthusiasm for taking money from farm to school, from taking money from the biofuels, and from taking money from this program that gives grants to small and transitional farmers, because that is his proposal. So if that is a and people can express opinions about that. However, in weighing how a whole bill fits together financially, that is a policy, that is a financial committee. And if we, I trust that the chair does not want to go down a path of having a policy committee do finances, because then the reverse would be a finance committee doing policy.
Representative Hamilton? Or Representative Kreischer, were you done? Or Representative Keel, apologize. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We seem to be talking about a few things here. Rules, policy, finance. What do the rules say about our committee structure?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Do we have rules in this committee?
We have the rules of the House. We don't have the rules that are different for this committee.
Some committees have rules for their committees and some don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. To the Representative Hamilton's policy, amendments, excuse me. I think this is legitimate to be discussing, and it has some discussion based on what we do finance in agriculture policy. Representative Wiginius referred to some of what we already have in the bill, but we have other programs that might be better to promote agriculture in the state of Minnesota that would be more productive for our citizens. I wouldn't weigh one more important than the other. I just would say there should be some discussion about what it is we're trying to do in ag policy.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just to comment on what Representative Wiginius said, we're in this committee this morning discussing the budget. That's financial. So if we aren't supposed to talk about numbers in this committee, why are we discussing and evidently voting on the budget? It would appear to me that the two are very intertwined, and I suppose we could go down the avenue, Representative Hamilton and myself, and take all of our numbers out of our amendments, put in zeros. That's been done before. But just to get these things discussed here and act on what we see as avenues that the policy of this committee is going to go down.
Representative Prisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just very quickly, advice, because I actually want to hear Representative Nornes' presentation today. Are we talking about the amendment, which I don't think Representative Hamilton has had a chance to even talk about yet, or are we talking about the rules? I would recommend we go back to the amendment, because I believe in Mason's, all amendments are germane to the bill. And so, therefore, I would recommend we get back to the amendments, move them through. I'm sure they'll be talked about in the Finance Committee.
Thank you. And any Representative Falk?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate Representative Kreischer's research into Mason's. I would say that Mason's applies on the floor. The Speaker does give jurisdictions for which committees have the say on particular issues, and so Mason's wouldn't exactly be the applicable point of reference here.
Representative Kreischer? No. Yes?
Just thank you, Representative Falk. So that just in the interest of what I'll call the Nornes movement, let's move back to the amendment and move on.
Representative Wiginius.
Madam Chair, I think one point needs to be made a little bit stronger here. The bill that you have before you, I think out of deference to have the ability to have some discussion about the issues in the bill, was sent to this committee. This is a policy committee. I do not see any policy amendments. However, if it is the choice of this committee to do financial amendments, then you are opening the door to have the Finance Committee do policy amendments based on the very arguments that you are making. Now, it is not my intention, or was not my intention, to have any policy discussion in the finance bill. It was my intention to look at the numbers and make sure the numbers balanced, and I'm sure there's going to be some numbers perhaps shifted around. However, I don't know whether it would be the choice of this committee chair to open the door to have the Finance Committee do policy changes in this finance bill.
Madam Chair, what motion?
Anderson.
What motion is before us?
We don't have a motion yet. We have.
Oh, I made a motion to.
You offered an amendment. I believe that that was not a motion.
I made a motion to move the amendment, A1. You said if there's anybody to make a motion to move the amendment, so I said I'd move the A1 amendment, right? So are we discussing the A1 amendment?
Not at this point. We are not. But it is the motion before us to do that. But then we had questions about whether or not that was appropriate to do. So we are having discussion about the appropriateness of the motion, which I'm going to ask Representative Anderson. He has a question or comment.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, I have a comment to Representative Wagenius. We had a night meeting last evening in the Agriculture Finance Committee. We spent much of the evening talking about groundwater and irrigation issues. I would suggest to all the committee that is policy. It may have financial implications, but my point is it's really difficult to separate policy and finance issues. An example, last night talking at length about groundwater issues, which certainly is a major policy issue affecting the state, but again, it shows that it's hard to separate the two.
Madam Chair, if I could respond.
Thank you. Representative Wagenius.
The reason we had that discussion last night, members, was because we have we have jurisdiction over DNR too, and DNR has a section of waters, and there have been newspaper reports and NPR reports and more reports coming last night that DNR waters is not getting the job done that Minnesotans expect because they don't have enough money. So we were discussing what the job is that isn't being done because of the lack of money. So we would not be changing the policy in with that discussion. What we were getting ready to think about is, does that section need more money or not? That's simply what we were discussing.
Thank you. All right. We've had discussion. We've had advice. We've had conversation. We've had dialogue. It's now time to address what the motion before us. Our rules of the House indicate that an amendment offered in committee must be on a subject that is within the jurisdiction of the committee. Whether an amendment is on a subject that is within the jurisdiction of the committee is a question to be decided by the person chairing the meeting, who may put the question to the committee. I believe we've had some discussion about that, and I appreciate the back and forth and the understanding all of the intricacies of this decision. But I'm going to say what this decision is. I think that this, based on policy, we want to hear the discussion. Based on moving the money around, that would not be appropriate for this committee. So I'm going to ask that if Representative Hamilton wants to discuss this, that we discuss this, and that we talk about the various locations that he would like to deal with, but when it comes to the money piece of it, that we are not going to be able to deal with that in this committee, and we will have that go to the Finance Committee. So, Representative Hamilton.
Well, Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Representative Falk's comment, Mason's 636 Section 2, the reference says that the committee may propose to the body any change by amendment as long as the amendments are germane to the subject of the measure. And so
there's a technical difference, I believe, between germaneness and jurisdiction. We're talking now about jurisdiction. And the jurisdiction is that we can, I do, with my colleagues and friends who are talking about that policy and finance are connected, they are interconnected. And I do believe that we need to have that discussion based on that interconnectedness. And agriculture is the jurisdiction of this committee. However, finance is not. So when it comes to the further discussion about how money would be changed in this finance bill, even though it's before us, that would not be something that we would do in this committee. We will do the policy regarding why we want to move that money around.
Okay.
So if you would, Representative Hamilton, now it's
okay.
Your
Thank
turn.
You, Madam Chair. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. The gist of this whole thing is we've heard testimony of the benefits, whether it's 4-H, all the wonderful students that have come in with FFA. We hear a lot about the need for ag literacy across the state as well. And to Representative Chairwoman Wagenius's comment about taking away, friends, this is new money. And it hasn't been directed to any of these programs, so technically we're not taken away from anything. And, you know, we want to promote businesses, we want to promote new initiatives in agriculture, there's no question about it. And so it's extremely important. The areas that the department have identified support those wholeheartedly. The part that we're missing is getting students, getting our children and everybody excited about agriculture again and filling that pipeline of people who want to be involved in agriculture. And so taking a hard look at where the shortcomings are and visiting with whether it's educators, business owners, people in, like I said, various educational institutes. And we must invest in the ag literacy portion of it. And that's where, if you look at this amendment, we have dollars going into 4-H. And if you remember my presentation about the district that I represent, I had a portion in there about 4-H and all the different things that those students, those children are exposed to. And then you take a look at FFA and all the things that they're exposed to as well. And you take a look at the graduation rates of the students in FFA compared to everybody else in the state, all the other students in the state. The wonderful work that MEALC does and the need, you hear that there are high schools that want to reinstate ag programs as well. And there's a shortage of money. And so what I'm trying to do is on the policy side to design this grant program within MEALC to where a high school who wants to reinstate their ag program, they would be able to turn to MEALC on a competitive grant process, secure some dollars to reinstate the ag program in their high schools. We listened to the Marl program, and those are a wonderful program educating ag leaders, rural leaders. And so what I was attempting to do, and then you take a look at some of the other ag literacy type things, whether it's Farm America, who does a wonderful, wonderful job, the Center for Rural Policy and Development that tries to educate people and on ag issues and stuff like that as well. And then you take a look at AURI that assists ag businesses. So again, trying to bring everybody up through that pipeline, if you will, from our small youth all the way up to rural leaders, and do it in a way to where it is it's not, for lack of better words, a special interest to the point where within agriculture, So they take a look at agriculture as a whole and not try to promote one segment of agriculture by trying to diminish another. You know, it's agriculture as a whole. And this would embrace the other wonderful things that are outlined into the program. And here's an opportunity where we would be able to do something like this and invest in our children and get them excited again about agriculture and develop our next leaders, develop the next business owners and everything else within the state to utilize these very programs that we're putting in place in the Department of Agriculture. And, you know, so I take a look at the policy around all of this and the thought process. Madam Chair, you know, we within agriculture, I remember Al Junkie, Chair Junkie, that would say the rule that we have in a committee is there are no rules. You know, we're going to be open and we're gonna hear these and we're gonna discuss them and everything else. And you know, that's why I brought this to the committee. I mean, it's not trying to diminish the work that the department has done. It's trying to add to that. Chair Wagenius's comment, it's not trying to take anything away. It's trying to build that up and embrace it and promote it as well. And again, this is just investing in our children and the next leaders as well. That's the gist of the amendment. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Thank you for the explanation. Thank you for your passion on the subject, because I know it's important to you, and I think it's important to all of us to think about ag education and how do we develop that pipeline and how do we encourage it and support it. This amendment before us, however, does have money that you are moving around. So I'm going to ask if you are going to withdraw the amendment at this point. No. Then I'm going to actually move this amendment out of order, because it does move the money, and I appreciate the policy behind it, but I'm going to move it out of order. And we have a second amendment, and I'm not sure if anyone wants to lay claim to the second amendment. Representative Anderson.
That doesn't sound good, Madam Chair.
are welcome to discuss it.
I lay claim to the second amendment. I feel strongly that in order for us to move ethanol, the market, further down the road, we need to have more blender pumps in Minnesota, and this would be a relatively small appropriation, about $400,000 over the two-year biennium, to give some grants to service stations who would install blender pumps. We've heard that moving from E10 to E15 is a financially expensive proposition, and a blender pump would be a way to be able to access different grades of fuel, and I think it's a good way for us to promote the expanded use of ethanol. And Madam Chair, I would ask that if I amended my motion to take out all of the numbers and just put in zeros, would that please the chairwoman? And would that allow this to be voted on?
Actually, Representative Anderson, you still are indicating that the commissioner may reimburse owners. So I'm not sure if just taking out the dollars would satisfy that the criteria okay. that I'm creating.
Okay, I respect your ruling. And I will bring it up at a later point.
Yes. Certainly both of these amendments are appropriate for the Finance Committee. And I appreciate you did not move your amendment. You just discussed it, if I recall. So we're not doing anything to dispense with it other than you highlighted it and made us aware of it. Thank you. Okay. Yes, Representative Petersburg.
Point of clarification for me. I'm confused because the bill before us has dollars attached to it. So because there's dollars attached to it that we're approving, does that mean we won't be able to vote on this bill at all? Because the point is that There are dollars attached to everything that we do. Finance then has the opportunity to review those finances and change those as well. But because there are dollars here, you just ruled that because there were dollars involved with Representative Hamilton's amendment, that it's not germane. So therefore, it would make this would be not germane as well. And I'm a little bit confused.
Thank you. I'll clarify. This is a bill that's before us. We will vote on this bill to move it into the Finance Committee. What the amendments were doing were actually changing how the dollars were being spent within the finance bill. We're not doing that. We are just taking the bill as is, and as it was amended with that small deletion, and moving the bill forward. So yes, it includes both finance and policy in this bill.
As just another
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up, but the bill itself distributes dollars.
Yes, it does.
And so this amendment is just finalizing that distribution as way we think it should go to begin with, no different than the bill originally itself does, and it needs to go to finance then to make sure that it's appropriate with everything else that fits in. So I guess I don't see the difference per se, but it is the ruling of the chair, so I appreciate that as well.
It's clear to me that those are two different things, that this is a finance and policy bill. It came to us. We could have restricted ourselves to the discussion of policy, but it was at my discretion that we heard the entire bill. Actually, I think it's appropriate for us to hear the entire bill because, as has been stated numerous times, policy and finance are connected. I believe that myself. I think that's true. And that I think that it was appropriate for us, and I appreciate the presentation by the Department of Ag, to give us the full presentation to discuss where those dollars were being spent. And I think that was appropriate for us to hear that. But at this point, we have the bill before us. Where it goes next is the Finance Committee, where it would be more appropriate to do any amendments with regards to the financial aspects of the bill.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Hamilton.
Madam Chair, I'm just, is it custom of the body to rule a bill out of order in policy? Amendment out of order in policy?
That is a question I cannot answer. Are you talking a bill or an amendment?
An amendment.
An amendment.
In policy.
I believe it's been done before. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is about the bill, which I think is what we're on now. Is that correct?
Yes.
I have a question on subdivision 4. We went through this once before with the department, and I'm wondering if the language, when I read through it, it didn't necessarily specify what, it doesn't seem to me anyway that this necessarily specifies the programs and things that they had outlined to us. Am I not reading it correct, or is this just broad guidelines as to what that's supposed to go for? Or could somebody please clarify that for me?
Ms. Gauthier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Faust, starting on page 4, line 25, subdivision 4, the bioenergy and value-added agriculture, that is indeed the agri appropriation, which is the tails in our base of the ethanol producer payment program. The rider language, the first section there delineates the amount that we can use for administration, 4.5%. It also specifies a carryover from the first year to the second year and a carryover for the ag refunds on page 5, line 5, to June 30th of 2017. From line 5.6 down through and onto the next page, 6.9, That is a carryover of rider language from previous appropriation bills that pertains to the Next Gen Energy Board's grant-making process. So it's specific parameters that the legislature has laid out for the Department of Agriculture to use in making, in operating the Next Gen Energy Board program, and in fact making the grants for that program. It defines bioenergy, it limits the grants to 50% of the cost of research, technical assistance, or equipment related to bioenergy production. It limits the grants to $500,000 unless there is a non-governmental entity as a partner in the applicating entity. In that case, the grants have a little different parameters. But basically, this has been, and it requires us to report by February 1st of the first year of 2015 to the legislature on what the Next Gen Energy Board has done. And that language, Madam Chair and Representative Faust, was the same language which was in the budget bill that the legislature passed in 2011.
Representative Faust?
So it's my understanding then that basically we are giving the commissioner the authority to decide where that money goes, basically.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Ms. Gauthier.
Current statute, 41A.12, does give the commissioner, authorizes the commissioner to issue grants, loans, or other forms of financial assistance for things such as livestock investment grant program, bioenergy awards made by the Next Gen Energy Board, cost shares for the installation of biofuel blender pumps, and financial assistance to support rural economic infrastructure activities. The plan that was presented to the committee, Madam Chair, at the hearing earlier, detailed the department's goals and framework for accomplishing what is written in the statute, and we're happy to take questions on that. But we support the bill as it was introduced without rider language pertaining to our plan, which was discussed earlier, because we are following the statute, Madam Chair, and we want the commissioner, the governor felt the commissioner should have flexibility to address emerging issues and to make the most of anything that can economically benefit Minnesota.
Representative Faust.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we adjourn for today then. Seriously.
Madam Chair, that's not debatable, I believe.
Representative Keel.
That's not debatable. We're done.
Roll call.
All right, a roll call has been requested on the move to adjourn. We will have the clerk note the roll. Take the roll.
Poppy?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Dill?
No.
Erickson?
No.
Falk?
No.
Faust?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Keel?
Yes.
Krisha?
Yes.
McNamer?
No.
Nornes?
Yes.
Petersburg?
Yes.
Wagenius? Thank you.
If we have everyone who voted, the ayes have 8, the nays have 8, and so it does not prevail based on the tie vote. So we continue on with the discussion. And Representative Faust, you have another question.
No, I have an amendment to the bill, if it's in order.
State your amendment.
I move to delete lines 4.27 to 6.9.
Could you just explain what you're doing, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really do not like a lot of the places that the department wanted to move the AGRA money. And so in order to come up with some better options, since this is seems to me mostly policy, since there's not very many numbers in it, I think that that should certainly be appropriate, and I think that then hopefully we can put in some policy that I think would do a better job of directing that money to where it currently is designated to go.
Mr. Sullivan, could you just describe what this amendment does?
Yes, Madam Chair and members, Representative Faust's amendment would remove all the rider language for Subdivision 4, Bioenergy, and Value-Added Agriculture. The numbers would remain. The totals, 10.235 per year, would still be appropriated, but there would be no direction on how the department would spend that money.
Ms. Gauthier.
Yes, Madam Chair.
The amendment has been made to remove the language regarding Subdivision 4. Do you have comments about that?
Madam Chair, as I understand it, the amendment then would remove the limit of 4.5% for our expenses. It would not allow us to carry any funding from the first year to the second year. Per se. Is that right? We can carry operating portions but not grant portions. The delineation of the next gen granting program is fairly specific and something the legislature had worked on in the past. Madam Chair, we support the bill as it was introduced as the governor's budget.
Madam Chair, I'd like a roll call.
Representative Wagenius?
Let's take a roll call on this.
Representative Wagenius requests a roll call. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And this is kind of new ground for the Ag Committee. I think we're seeing the fruits of separating out the policy and the Ag portions of this committee. It's I think it's sad. And all we're asking for in the amendments that Representative Hamilton and I offered is a placeholder to be included in the funding in this Ag bill. And I think this is sad.
Thank you for the commentary. Representative Faust.
I'll withdraw my amendment because we're out of time here, and I guess if the plan is to vote on it, we might as well just vote on it the way it is.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hamilton.
Madam Chair, I would request that we regroup here a little bit and talk. I'd like to make a motion to table the bill and ask for a roll call.
Okay. The motion to table is an undebatable, non-debatable motion, and it does require the roll call, so we will be taking, so the request to table is what we are going to be voting on.
Poppy?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Dill?
No.
Erickson?
No.
Falk?
No.
Faust?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Fritz?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Keel?
Yes.
Kreisha?
Yes.
McNamer?
No.
Nornis?
Yes.
Petersburg?
Yes.
Wagenius?
The vote is 8 ayes, 8 nays. Again, the motion does not prevail. And so I will again move House File 473 be recommended to pass as amended to the Ag Natural Resources Environment Finance Committee. Pardon me? All in favor, say aye.
Roll call.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Roll call. I asked for a roll call.
We were in the motion. We were in the vote. And, all those opposed, say nay.
No.
No.
The motion does prevail.
Division,
ma'am. Division has been called. All those in favor, raise your hands. So everyone raise your hands if you're in support of the motion. All those opposed, raise your hands. All right, the vote again is 8-8, so the motion does not prevail. The bill is not approved. And I believe we are with nothing further before us. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, and the meeting is adjourned.